You know, many people vaguely believe that life may somehow go on after death. It's a vague thought, not well defined. There are also people who have lived and died without even any conception of an afterlife, not even a thought about it. Will they ever be surprised, as Kaylin was saying? And by the way, thank you, Kaylin. You only took one of my major references, which has been referenced several times, so I guess we're supposed to use it. Truly, the idea that there will be an end to one's existence is not an easy thing to contemplate for any of us. People die. Why? Because of sin. And sin is the breaking of God's laws, beginning with Adam and Eve. The stage was set. Mankind has chosen, and I want to emphasize chosen, to disobey God. Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, Paul writes, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Continuing in the book of Romans, Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Since all have sinned, all will have to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27, I'm adding this reference just to drive home the point, but it's not in my prepared notes. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. The penalty of sin is death. We are here observing the last great day, the eighth day of the feast, following the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. This day pictures the time when all people who are dead will be resurrected to physical life. That is a hard thought to grasp, that everyone who has ever lived will die. But this is in fulfillment of the work of Jesus Christ in bringing both salvation and judgment to all. It is this part of God's great master plan of salvation that I will be speaking about today. There is a plan, as we find out observing these days. The time in the future which this feast day represents is when those who have been offered salvation will learn. When those who have not been offered salvation will learn of Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 19. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, in fact, all were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Again, it's the work of Jesus Christ. We've heard him mentioned a lot in this feast, and very appropriately. The message that Jesus brought was one all people would hear and either accept or reject. Some have rejected the message of Jesus Christ, and their fate is sealed John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible because of what it reveals. In there are two. John 7, beginning in verse 37, on the last day, excuse me, I think I caught something from my experiences in Germany here, and you all are sharing, and I'm sharing now. John 7, in verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, hence the name the last great day, which we have appropriated, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." John 12, verses 46 through 48. John 12 and verse 46. I have come, Jesus speaking here, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to condemn the world, to judge the world now, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day, even, may I add, as we are being judged today, as we live by that word. Well, I pose this question, how is this even possible? How will the dead live again? Well, brethren, it is because all people have been given a spirit component to their existence, by which we are all uniquely and completely sustained by God. And the Bible reveals that. That knowledge, that truth, that understanding came to the church a few decades ago. It is really important to understand. Zechariah 12, verse 1. And Daniel, I apologize. I know I spilled over the edge, but as I said before, I follow Mr. Link's examples in all things. Zechariah 12 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Notice how this is presented and bookended, how important this is in God's presentation. He forms the spirit of man within him. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. I'm talking about how it is possible for people to live again. In verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. Out of the earth we were taken, and the spirit will return to God who gave it, a separate part of creation that God has bestowed on every human life, spirit, to record and to keep in ways we can barely even begin to understand. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus says the God, or the God the Lord, Isaiah 42 and verse 5, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. Again, understand we have a spirit that God will take back at our death and use to bring us to life, either physical or spirit life. Even death will not, cannot stop God's plan for mankind's potential to be members of the family of God. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Sorry. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, Paul is teaching here, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what God wants. And his plan will provide for that opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Again, this powerful statement from the Word of God. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The master plan of God. There is a way for all to not perish. And that is this, to believe that the Son of God died for the sin of sinners who then turned to him in repentance. We read John 3, verse 16 through 18, which I will also read often, but never lose the impact of how important this understanding, true understanding, is. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not just in this life, but in the age to come, those who believe will find everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, but will have that opportunity I am talking about to live again, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. One way to have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. When will the dead live again? That time is what we are commemorating today. It will be a tremendous time in the future. Revelation 20, verse 5, after speaking about the elect here, the saints of God, and their opportunities, we read in Revelation 20 and verse 5, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection that had been spoken of or written about." But it says here, the rest of the dead. Everybody. We find a prophecy about the dead of Israel in the book of Ezekiel. We find a valley of dry bones. Ezekiel 37, verses 5 and 6. I've got just a little bit here. Ezekiel 37 and verse 5. "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." That is the great future for all of mankind. Verses 11 and 4 through 14 in this same chapter 37 of Ezekiel. "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Paul wrote in Romans, "And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written." Speaking about a time ahead. But God will resurrect all people, not just Israel. Romans 11, verses 13 through 15. Romans 11, Romans 11, verses 13 through 15. Paul writing, "For I speak to you Gentiles, the other nations, the other peoples, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are of my flesh and save some of them." Our job now is to save, to reach out and save as many as we can, to spare them from what's coming, just as Paul wrote about. "For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" Throughout this, again, I go back to my title, "The Dead Will Live." It's a hard concept to really understand and grasp, and how much that might affect all of us. Okay, back to the notes. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 19. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ," us. We have been reconciled. "And has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is why we are here today. "That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This message, that the dead will live, is the great hope of a hopeless, lost world." And there is proof that all the dead will be resurrected. And that will be in the future. Romans 14, verses 9 through 12. Romans 14, 9 through 12. "For to this end Christ died." But he didn't just die. "He rose again and lived, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, even the knees of the dead who will be resurrected, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God.'" Our opportunity, brethren, is here. It is now to give account. We are being judged. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. "Therefore God also has highly exalted him," speaking of Christ, "and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth," those who are dead in the in their graves. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ made an important point about himself regarding his own life and his role for eternal life. He says this in Revelation 1 and verse 18. I am he who lives. Revelation 1, verse 18, sorry. Too quick here. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death, of the grave and death. The Bible very plainly warns that some will be destroyed, even after all of the opportunity God provides. They will suffer the second death because they refuse to repent of sin, and they chose not to obey God, but to turn their backs on God. For all the opportunities that God gives, they chose. Revelation 20, verses 14 through 15. Revelation 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades, the grave, were cast into the lake of fire, metaphorically destroyed, no more. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, if I could do more commentary on the side, this would be a lot longer sermonette. But since we have pictures, I probably have reached the right timing here. But before I go, a couple of things. I want to read that scripture that everybody's been reading, because it is the great message, not only of this day, but of the whole feast, and of the plan of God himself. Revelation 21 and verse 4, the Bible is open already, right? 21 verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more death, because everyone will be alive. Nor sorrow, nor crying, nor feast coals. There shall be no more pain. Bring that day on, right? For the former things, they're done. They've passed away. They're gone. They're behind. And really, those things won't even have to be brought to memory again. From then on, brethren, we are forward in our thinking, in our work, in the kingdom of God.